God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text will come from Deuteronomy chapter 18, our Old Testament lesson. But before I begin, have you ever been interrupted in your TV watching with a special emergency broadcast message? Or maybe it's happened to you on the radio. I don't know about you, but when those interruptions come, well, strangely enough, actually I get a little offended. I'm thinking, how dare they interrupt what I'm viewing here? This is my entertainment. This is important to me. But they feel that the message that they bring is also important. So typically I do a quick evaluation and usually just tune out the message. Very regularly we do those type of judgments, those type of evaluations of tuning things out after we make a determination of how important it is. Let me illustrate also with, say, sirens and lights, especially on emergency vehicles. How many times have you noticed that when fire trucks or ambulances have their lights on, does everyone pull over to the side? Actually, I've seen a couple of situations where the traffic just kept moving. They did make way for the emergency vehicle, but they really didn't seem to care very much. But now let's change the scenario a little bit. Now let's still keep the lights, let's still keep the sirens, but instead of an ambulance or a fire truck, what happens now if it is a police officer and they are right behind you? Does that change the situation a little bit? Do you just keep moseying on and ignoring them? Or do you pull over and hope and pray he doesn't pull over behind you? Yes, we do make these judgments and we make these evaluations of how important this emergency is. It's almost like the little boy who cried wolf. Too often, if we keep hearing these emergency messages, we tend to tune them out and ignore them. Like the boy who cried wolf too many times, and then when the wolf showed up, everyone ignored the message. Well, God knows who we are. He knows that we make these evaluations. We make these judgments because very often we do get offended when people try to control our lives, and we sometimes may view these emergency messages as someone who's trying to control and manipulate our lives. Our text for today from Deuteronomy chapter 18 gives us one of these emergency messages, one of these messages by Moses to the people of Israel. The people of Israel were going to enter the promised land. Moses also knew that he wasn't going to be joining the people of Israel, so he had to prepare them. The message for today, that God was going to raise up a prophet, and you must listen to him. Well, how many times have we heard the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How many times have we heard the message from the prophet? You're called an ordained pastor. And how many times have we let that message go in one ear and out the other because there doesn't seem to be anything new or anything exciting about this message? Why don't we want to listen? Well, some of the reasons that sometimes people come up with, we may ask ourselves, well, to whom are we really listening to? I mean, isn't the pastor a pastor? Isn't he an ordinary human being? Isn't he a sinner just like you? Just like me? Why should I listen to a fellow sinner? Or we may say, well, the pastor just really can't relate to people. You know, he's so busy studying theology, so busy studying the Bible, he just keeps forgetting about that there are real people out there and that there are people with schedules and routines, and I'm just way too busy for all this. Or we may just think that the pastor just can't understand me. You know, I'm different. I'm special. He may be able to understand other people, just not me. The point that we have to remember that Moses is also trying to convey here, it's not the pastor you are listening to. It is God's word working through the called and ordained pastor. Let me use a quote even from our Lutheran confessions. The early church fathers of Lutheranism understood this. And this is the quote. Both the sacraments and the word are effectual by reason of the institution and the commandment of Christ, notwithstanding they may be administered by evil men. I like this sentence here. it conveys it very clearly. Guess what? I am a sinner. I am one of those evil men. But it also conveys the power of God here. The power of God who is able to work through evil people. Can God do that? The answer is yes. That shows us that we do worship the Almighty God. We may have a personality conflict with the called and ordained. We may not always like what they do or say. But when they preach God's word, as Moses says, when God raises up a prophet among you, you must listen to him. You see, the power is in God's word, not in my personal ability. So as long as the word of God is being proclaimed, as long as it's truly God's word, our many excuses just don't cut it. Likewise with the sacrament. It is God's sacrament. It is His power. It is His grace being received. It's not my body and blood being shed, even though at times some of you may actually wish it was my body and blood being shed, but my body and blood won't give you any saving grace, won't strengthen you. It may appease a vendetta, but it's not going to give you the forgiveness of sins, which only Christ and Him crucified gives. Hence the command from Moses. You must listen to him because it is God's word. Now, there's also a little bit of accountability here on both parts. As Moses says in our text, if anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. So there's that level of accountability that God is using with His people. If you fail to listen, guess what? God's going to call you to account for it. Is there any accountability on my part? The answer is yes. Last line. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. So yes, I do take my office very, very seriously. That's why it's my job to preach and proclaim God's word. The problem comes in, as human beings, that God's word is more on that logical plane. And for those people who are logical, they can understand God's word and understand it in a way that maybe it's written. But for other people, we'd rather follow maybe our reason or our senses. We're more people of feelings. And so we like illustrations. We like pictures that we can understand. There's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with having feelings and emotions. By all means, we do have them. But sometimes our feelings and emotions can lead us the wrong way. And that's where Moses' words for us puts us on the right path. Consider this old song from American history. I'm just going to read the song. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Truly, one of these beautiful love songs. A special relationship where someone, if that relationship is taken away, they're just not going to be as happy. Because the line says, you make me happy. Now, I just want to challenge that for a moment. Do I have the ability to make you happy? Do I have the ability to control your feelings? The answer is really no. You are in control of your own feelings. I may be able to change the circumstances around in which you will react to those with those feelings. Fair enough. But I really don't have control of your feelings. You do. But this gives us a little bit of an inkling of how, at least in our American culture, feelings and emotions are very powerful motivators. Consider this other example from William Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet. You know, two people who had a deep love for each other, that they killed themselves after they found out that the other person was dead. Now, I don't know about you, death of a loved one does create a very empty void in our hearts. But does that mean your life is going to end? The answer is no. But sometimes we have this romantic idea, especially in American life, And it's truly an understanding that our feelings and emotions are great motivators. But in the story of Romeo and Juliet, they may lead us to death. Now, one more illustration to sort of cement this point. Consider an experiment with primates, especially like with monkeys, where a baby was drawn away from its mother and was given two surrogates, two options. Both of them were inanimate objects. One had fur on it, shaped like a monkey. The other had the metal skeleton of a monkey, but had a bottle attached. The one with the fur representing that comfort that a mother would provide, the one with the bottle representing that life, that nourishment the monkey needed to survive. What did the baby choose? The comfort. We have to come to the realization that, yes, our feelings and our emotions are very powerful motivators, but do they always lead us down the correct path? No, they may not lead us down the correct path. So Moses, and very carefully, was trying to convey to the people of Israel not to blend in with the rest of the people in the Promised Land, because they weren't worshiping the true God. They would lead the people astray. And what's more important, feeling like you belong or following God? Now comes the tension between our feelings and emotions and wanting to feel like we belong with the other people around us, and then the logical aspect that says, wait a minute, there is saving life connected to our God. Moses, in trying to instill this to the people, told them, you must listen to the prophets, because there will become prophets. They will try to keep you on the path toward God. Why? Because the prophets have the word of God. Peter said to Jesus in John chapter 6, verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And this is that emergency message that the church needs to proclaim each and every day. The problem comes in, we've heard this message from Sunday school days. We heard this message growing up. And our human nature is starting to tune out this message. Why? Because we'd rather have feelings. We'd rather have emotions. We'd rather have something new and exciting. So we have to check ourselves. Are we really on the right path? And let me give you a couple of things to check ourselves with. How do we evaluate a church? I mean, there are many churches in today's world. You don't have to go a couple blocks away from Trinity right here and now to find two other churches. Do we evaluate a church by the comfort that it brings to us? Do we evaluate the church by what it offers to us? Or how I fit in? Or do we evaluate the church on how clearly God's word is being proclaimed? Another checkpoint. Realizing that we all are sinners, even your pastor. Even our confessions note that pastors are can be evil men. Guess what? We all fall short of God's glory. And since we gather as a community, we are sinners, and sinners do hurt each other. So let me ask, have you ever been offended by what someone has said or done here at Trinity or at a previous church? Have they ever really offended you? And if they have, what was your reaction? Was your first reaction saying, well, I'm going to go leave and find another church where I'll fit in and belong? You see, very often we use our feelings and emotions to evaluate things. But rarely do people ever leave a church because the pastor failed to preach God's word. We have to ask ourselves, where is our faith? What do we believe and trust in? How well we have potlucks? Or the clarity of God's word and the forgiveness of sins that's being proclaimed in that word? How is that going out? That is the emphasis of Deuteronomy chapter 18, that we must listen to the prophet. If not, there is accountability. God knows, however, that we are people with feelings. We have senses. We use these emotions. And God knows that, and He tries to appease us with that. And that's one of the reasons why God says, as human beings, I'm going to strengthen you with my word. And I know that you're going to want a little bit more. So I'm also going to connect my word with water for baptism. I'm also going to connect my word with bread and wine. These are physical elements we can hear, we can taste, we can see, we can touch. And then when they're connected with God's Word, that bread and wine is also the body and blood of Christ, given to you for the forgiveness of sins, to satisfy your thirsty soul. Yes, it provides a little nourishment to the stomach, very little, but it really is designed to satisfy the soul. God knows that we do operate off of feelings. We do have emotions, and they're not bad in and of themselves, but as long as they don't distract us from God's Word, because it is in His Word that we have life. It is in His Word that we have peace. And we do live in a world that is full of sin and sinners. We even gather together in a worship community that, guess what? The church is for sinners. We are sinners. Sinners who do hurt one another. Sinners who focus upon themselves instead of the saving Word of God's love. So we come here today, not to sit there and say, I'm never going to come back to Trinity again, but we come here today with damaged hearts and damaged souls. We come here seeking His mercy. As two blind men called to Jesus as He was passing by in Matthew chapter 20, verse 30, Lord, have mercy! We said those same words in our liturgy. That's what we're looking for. The grace, the love, the forgiveness of sins that only comes from Christ and Him crucified. We are seeking that peace and rest for our souls that we can't find with the things of this world, that are only found in the things of God. For the One who created us also redeemed us with His very own body and blood and keeps us with His Spirit. So we come and we listen to the great Shepherd of the sheep as is depicted in our stained glass, as He works through the under-shepherd, your called and ordained pastor, who's there to point us the right direction back to the great Shepherd of the sheep. We come here to Trinity to receive God's gifts of mercy, His grace, the forgiveness of sins. This is one of the reasons why here at Trinity we like to invite the Gideons to come once a year, especially during the season of Epiphany. Men who have volunteered their time to share God's Word by putting testaments and Bibles in the hands of people. Not with a lot of pomp and circumstance, but in a very clear in simple way, so that God's Word would not be cluttered, but may be read and heard freely and simply. We look forward to hearing the Gideon's report at the end of our worship service. But for now, we return back to the Lord who has the words of eternal life. And we ask the Lord to open up our hearts and our ears so that we will be receptive to the words that He brings, the words of Christ and Him crucified, because we have sinned, we have fallen short of God's glory, we have been led astray, and God invites us back with His love and His forgiveness to give us that strength we need and that message, that emergency message that we need to hear every day and not tune out. So we ask the Lord to help us to hear that message, to help us understand that, yes, He died so that we as human beings will be fully restored in heaven above. And we ask the Lord to bless us, because it is tough. There are feelings and there are hurt feelings. There are emotions and there are sometimes we just want to run away. So we ask the Lord to keep us close to Him and to keep us hearing His Word, the words of life. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.